Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We have so much to cover. We are going to get caught up on a lot of recruiting news, and there has been plenty of it, especially from the transfer portal. We talk about it seemingly every time we record one of these, that the portal never sleeps, and that is not changing. We're going to be joined by Amir Herring, the offensive lineman, four-star prospect from Michigan, who recently committed to the Kansas Jayhawks. We've got plenty to cover on all sides, from Kansas football as well as from Kansas basketball. Speaking of, let me go ahead and bring in my man who covers the Kansas men basketball beat for Jayhawk Slant, my buddy Shay Wildebor. Shay, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Great, man. Enjoying this beautiful weather that we're finally having now that it's stopped raining for, you know, maybe 5 minutes.
All right. I'm looking outside. We've got the neighborhood garage sales going on, and people are out walking dogs, and it's you know, it's a beautiful day, and it's that time of year.
It is. It's like I say, this is supposed to be the quote-unquote off-season, and yet the news just continues to keep coming. You know, I talked about Amir Herring, the offensive lineman that's committed. Let's go ahead and introduce John Kirby, our man on the Kansas football beat and the publisher of Jayhawk Slant. John, I know you have been super busy lately. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm with you on the we've had enough rain. You know, you complain that you need rain, and then you get it for like two straight weeks, and you're like, all right, we're good.
It's what I said to my wife the other day. I was like, yep, we're complaining right now about the fact that it seemingly never stops raining. And then when, you know, about a month and a half now from now, when everything is brown and dead already and the river's low, and we're like, yeah, I wish we could get some rain right about now. We all talk about it. You know, that's the way the weather is here in the Midwest. But with everything that's going on right now, I mean, there's so much to cover. But before we get into my questions for you guys, and I've got several, I want to throw out a couple topics that subscribers have been talking about on the message boards. And, you know, I plug it every time we talk. If you're a Kansas fan and you're not a subscriber to Jayhawk Slant, you're missing out. And this is a prime example. You know, one of our great posters, Any Crimson, had a great question, or a great request. You know, people have been talking about Kansas baseball. We always talk about Kansas football. We talk about Kansas basketball. The Kansas baseball program is making some real progress this year. John, you know more about baseball than really anybody I know. What do you think about the turnaround we're seeing on the diamond?
Well, Randy, it's a culture change, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we've seen it with football. We've seen it with other sports as well. So I just think that Fitzgerald's got it going in the right direction. And, you know, these guys are competing. You know, God, they swept Texas Tech. That was huge at home. You know, last weekend was tough against Kansas State. You know, they had, you know, Kansas could have easily won three games in that series. Just some untimely things that happened. And listen, Kansas State's going to be a tournament team. And they played them on the road in Manhattan, so it's tough. But, you know, they've got Houston for three, then at Texas. So, you know, there's still a chance they can do it. I think the RPI is hurting them, okay? So I think that's one thing they'll probably have to look at in the offseason is how do you schedule? Because I know Kansas State was in this same situation last year, okay? They were like on the bubble. They were one of the first four teams out last year. They didn't make the tournament, and their coach was fuming mad about it. So he even made comments in the offseason that, you know, I'm gonna go schedule harder. And he did, and it's helped their RPI. But, hey, listen, Kansas baseball, the trajectory is good, and you know, those kids are learning how to win. So it's been fun to follow them.
It's crazy.
One-run losses.
Oh, is that how many? Yeah.
Six. Wow. That's crazy right there. Goodness. No, it's funny to talk about, or I can't remember. I don't think we've ever talked about Kansas baseball and the question of scheduling and RPI. John, I don't think we've ever literally said those words together.
Probably not. Podcast. Probably not. I guess that's a good thing, right? When you're coming up with things to somewhat point out or maybe even gripe about, that means when you do that, you care enough and the people care enough that they're following.
No doubt. And I think the fact that the subscribers are bringing it up to us saying, hey, you guys need to talk about this. Tell us what you're thinking of. I think that's a tremendous sign. And, you know, I know we talk about it seemingly all the time now, and that's become kind of a new thing over the last several years. We talk regularly about the great state of Kansas athletics and how Travis Goff is elevating everything. And baseball's another example. I mean, this is it's a heck of a time to be a Kansas fan. And when you talk about things like the athletic department and the athletic director, that rolls right into my next question. You know, there is a lot of talk. I've been hearing it this morning on the radio. I've seen it on the message boards. I've seen it on Twitter. The discussion of could KU be a candidate to join the SEC? It keeps kind of bubbling back up. And, you know, we all know, just like the portal, realignment talk never ends. And I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I'll go ahead and start first. And
I'll defer to Kirby for a
minute. Well, I just, you know, Randy, I've followed it and stay pretty locked in on that stuff and have a chance to talk to people. I just, to me right now, that's kind of, it's all fantasy talk. Right. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's fun to talk about. It's fun to listen. It's entertaining. You know, it's like the WWE of realignment talk. I mean,
I like that.
You know, I just listen, if I was a betting man, if something were to happen like KU and the SEC, if that ever came to fruition, it's so far down the road. I mean, I'll go as far as saying this. If KU ever went to the SEC, I'd be willing to bet $100 bill with just about anybody that Lance Leipold and Bill Self wouldn't be the head coaches of those teams. So, I mean, listen, it's fun to talk about. It's good message board stuff, but definitely not something that's on my radar anytime in the near future. So, to me, it's entertainment, man. And now, I will say this. I will say this on the flip side. It's great for KU, right? I mean, because, when KU's name's thrown out with the SEC, it's like it gives it credibility. Okay, whether it's right or wrong, which nobody has any idea if it's right or wrong. Nobody. Okay, it's just a guy throwing something out. So, to me, when KU's in the news or being talked about or on talk shows and they're talking about KU and SEC, I mean, it sure doesn't hurt KU's brand. So, hey, to me, it's just it's something that would be a ways down the road if it ever happened.
Shay, you know, I'm going to ask you on this one because I heard somebody mention this morning. I know it's, you know, like I say, we're talking hypotheticals. And like John said, the likelihood of this happening anytime soon is almost non-existent. And we'd be talking about different staffs and really programs that are in different places than they are right now. But how much fun would you have if KU and Kentucky were in the same conference for basketball?
Oh my God. No. I mean, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. That's a lot. I mean,
no doubt.
The fans, the banter, the success, the coaches, the recruits. Here's the thing about those two fan bases, Randy. And listen, we have great jobs. We love what we do. I think sometimes people forget that it's work. But you put those schools together in the same conference, and it gets emotional and it gets heated and it is just, that's too much drama. I mean, it's just too much. I don't know how coaches from each school would. Bill has earned his right as the best coach in college basketball. That's my opinion. I can't imagine him sitting next to the guy at Kentucky on a regular. I mean, I don't know how that would work. That's just,
is it harder to picture that, or is it harder to picture him sitting next to Dennis Gates at Missouri?
Oh God.
Before we don't need to go down these rabbit holes. But it is kind of fun to think about.
I think you want to go to game. I think you would want to attend games. This is me speaking, where when you walk into the arena, there's that element of shit, this is going to be a big, like Missouri in 2012. When you walked into that place, you knew something mm-hmm. special was going to happen. You just yep. knew it. So if you can replicate that two or three times a year, which isn't going to happen, I would be all for it. Because those games have meaning and they bring out the best in programs that have had a great deal of success for a long time.
You know, you talk about programs that have had, you know, games that have meaning and programs that have success. That helps me kind of roll right into my first question for you. You know, I want to stick mainly with the portal today, just because that's where the action has been for this program. Talking about Kansas basketball, you know, the starters, four starters. I have to ask you, is Bill Self, are he and the staff, are they done at this point? Or are they still looking at the reporter at the portal? Is it like, hey, if we see something that catches our eye, or do they have a shopping list they're still trying to finish off?
No, I think, you know, with the news of last week that Riley Kugel would not be attending Kansas, I have a feeling that they would probably, if they add, if the way I understand it now, if my numbers are right, they have six returning players. You have to operate as if Johnny Furphy is not coming back, because I don't think he is. So they have six there, right? And then you have three of the transfer portal guys, that's nine, and then two high school kids, that's 11. My guess is that they will bring in two more, one non-scholarship player and a scholarship player, which would put them at 12, and leave that extra scholarship open, which would eliminate the penalty at the end of this year. So here's the thing. They had a kid visit last week or on Monday. The Kansas staff is very familiar with Noah Shelby, committed to Vanderbilt out of high school, was seriously considering Kansas, made the move from Vanderbilt to Rice, and now he is on the move again.
That's an interesting career path.
Monday, loves Kansas. Dad loves Kansas. You know, no other visits have been planned. I don't think any other visits are going to happen. And Randy, I don't know how this works in the era of NIL, but I'm guessing, and from what I've been told, that Noah Shelby will be considered a walk-on player at Kansas. You know, you're talking about the guy that was the 88th ranked player in America coming out of high school in 2022. You know, he's had a little bit of success at the Division I level, not a lot, but you also have to understand that he's played for, I think, two or three coaches and what he's just two different programs
at least. Yeah.
So he hasn't had that structure, that stability. So I would imagine he is going to announce, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is probably next week. And at this point I am anticipating that the decision will be Kansas. And I need to say that again, Randy, he's had coaching changes at both spots in the last 2 years, which is why he left. So yeah, and then they got two other guys they're looking at. One guy they were on early from BYU, Jackson Robinson. You know, I don't know if the staff is going to have time to bring him in or not. You know, that's something that if they're going to do, they're going to have to do soon, I would imagine. And then another player, Wuga Poplar from Miami, is another guy that they're looking at. You know, I don't think that the staff is just going to bring anybody in just to bring anybody in. They want to address two needs, and they'll continue to do that. They want to address the depth situation, obviously, and then guys that can come in and score from the perimeter. I can tell you this for fact. Last season was very frustrating for Bill Self. Very, very, very frustrating on a number of levels, two being obviously the depth and then the lack of outside shooting. He stood before a group of people at the banquet and made it clear that would not happen again. And so far, based on paper, he has made his promise come true. So I think they'll add two more. And then if you get Johnny Furphy back at the end of the day, at the last second, you take that and move on. But, you know, I'm not expecting him to come back at this time.
You know, you've talked about some of the additions, some of the changes, and it seems like this continues to be in flux because we've already had two guys that we thought were going to be additions that have decided to go elsewhere. You know, looking at where things are right now, how much has this staff been able to really help this roster? Is this team better right now? And if so, I know it's hard to quantify, they're going to be three wins better or something like that. What do you think, though, as somebody familiar with the program, how much better are things right now than they were when this team got knocked out of the tournament?
Oh, God, enormous. I mean, you've added, let's start, Zeke Mayo, 19.2 points a game, shot close to 40% from the three. And again, I need to say that, you know, we saw what happened with Nick Timberlake. He struggled. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to struggle, but you don't know what's going to happen until these guys get on the court and have success.
With that, at least this kid grew up, you know, Zeke down Mayo. The street from the field house, though.
Right. And listen, we can, I'll just, he's going to love it here. He's fired up and ready to go. So he have, you know, 19.2 points per game. You know, he's a three level get to the basket, and KU had nobody last year that could do that. I mean, that was a huge struggle.
We talked about the fact that nobody could get a shot, and if they could, they weren't necessarily consistent from where they could get it from.
Right, right. You bring in AJ Storr. Are you kidding me? 16.2 points per game. I don't love his 3-point percentage, 31.4. But I think you're going to surround him with a different group of people than he had at Wisconsin, and I think you're going to see that number improve. But again, his ability to put the ball on the court and attack the basket is something that I absolutely love. I think Kansas will benefit greatly from just him alone. And then obviously, you know, again, a guy like Ryland Griffin, almost a 40% shooter from the field, can get to the basket. And the thing about him also was, he wanted to be at Kansas from the minute he graduated high school. KU took some wings in that class. He was the odd man out. He can defend, and he wants to be here. And just as a side note, he's really good friends with Noah Shelby, who's going to announce next week. I think this roster is – they've done a
tremendous
job.
Are you maybe foreshadowing a little bit there with the Shelby announcement and the tie, or are you just saying?
I think the thing you have to do now is you have to find a replacement for Riley Kugel, and then get ready to roll. I mean, I don't think there's really anything else that this staff could have done to improve this roster more than they have. I mean, listen, there are people in this game, coaches included, that talk a big game and don't necessarily deliver. I think when you get Bill Self behind the microphone and he talks about making change at a season-ending banquet, you can rest assured that he's going to get it done.
So I've got to ask, Ben, and I agree with you completely. And that is, it's funny because I think that's part of the reason that end-of-season banquet has become something that really almost all the local media covers, because you know that something is going to be said. He's going to kind of give a state of the state, and you're going to get an idea of where he's headed in the offseason. With that in mind, you know, looking at the work that Bill Self and his staff have done, what kind of a letter grade would you give them for how they've reshaped this roster?
I would absolutely give them an A, and here's why. And I'm going to tell you why. This isn't a homer pick. I'm going to tell you why. If you look at the roster, Randy, aside from the additions, they had nobody hit the transfer portal.
Very good point.
In a day and age where you have to recruit your roster 24/7, they lost nobody.
Is Kansas the only, and I know Power 5, it's kind of different now, it's Power 4 or whatever you want to call it. Are they really the only
big program
to not lose a guy?
Kansas is the only big-time school, I believe, to not lose. I mean, listen, Elmarco Jackson, without a doubt, he had options. And you absolutely have to keep a guy like him on the roster, because in year two, I don't care what happened in year one, in year two he has a chance to be really, really good.
True. And really as adamant as Bill Self has been about how good a player he's going to be, you can't let Elmarco go. You know,
I firmly believe the plan last year when he came back. And first of all, you guys, he never left. He didn't go visit any schools. There seems to be some confusion about that. He left Kansas, went home to San Antonio, announced he was going somewhere else, never visited that school, and then came back and had a conversation with Coach. My belief is at that time that he was actually going to leave it. He was going to redshirt, then leave at the end of this year. I think that he's put – and people say all the time, Kansas needs another big man. Well, they've got Hunter, obviously. You can slide KJ over. You've got Flory, and the staff felt comfortable enough with Zach to where they didn't think they needed to bring in another big man. So that's why.
Shay, I got
to
ask.
I think he has a chance to play. He's got a great attitude. He loves Kansas. The first 2 years, things didn't work for him. Mm-hmm. You know, when you leave school, when you leave home for the first time and you're in a different environment and you think you know it maybe and you don't, you know, it's kind of hard to take suggestions from people. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just generally speaking. I mean,
sometimes you're talking about kids.
Sit down and listen.
Yeah,
and grow.
I mean, that's, any of us when right. we went away to college, you know? Here's right. And here, I guess I kind of want to go back a little bit, just kind of tying back to the El Marco question, as well as the questions about the roster. And this is really the last thing I want to ask you. You know, you talked about El Marco, you know, he went home, was going to visit somewhere, really kind of had a plan to leave, and then it ended up not happening. Honestly, how surprised are you that nobody has left? And do you think that is that, could that change, or is it just going to be this offseason, nobody leaves? What do you think?
I'm shocked that nobody left. Stunned. Mm-hmm. The thing I love about my job, Randy, is that we have these media sessions, and we go and look to Lawrence, and we go to the media room, and I get to hear all these different guys talk about mm-hmm. what they hear and what they think. And I remember one point late in the season, the belief was that Zach Clements was going to leave, that El Marco Jackson was going to leave, and that Jamari McDowell was going to leave. And it's when you think about that, it's crazy that all three of those guys, in the minds of many, were gone. But I really believe that one or two guys would leave, especially when you consider what they have coming in, as far as the transfer portal and the high school ranks. I mean, it's unheard of. Well, you always lose at least one guy.
And I know
obviously you lost the point, the high school point guard, LeBaron Fallon, but I mean he wasn't a program guy yet.
Well, and it's important to note
and put in the work. I mean he was still high school. So
this was my mistake in saying. I mean, I know the portal's closed, so nobody can leave now.
Nobody can
leave. I still felt, you know, like I say, it's I'm with you. I'm shocked that nobody departed, especially with just the state of flux and everything going on with this program and the way they've remade this roster is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, if somebody, let's say in 2 months from now, they're practicing, scrimmaging together, and somebody gets upset. I mean, somebody could leave. They just have to sit out a year.
True.
Yeah. So yeah, no. I mean, it's closed, and it's how self and his staff constructed this roster, I'll never know. But again, I mean, for the second straight year, they could start the season number one ranked preseason, which is crazy. I mean, yeah.
That's our man, Shay Wildebor, on the men's basketball beat. Shay, I'm not trying to rush you out. We've just got a ton to cover today. Thank you very much for all the information. Catch up with you again soon,
man. All right, boys. Have a good day. I'll talk to you soon.
That's Shay Wildebor on the men's basketball beat. Now we are going to shift gears, talk Kansas football with our man, John Kirby. John, you know, we went quite a while, you know, I'm continuing to talk about the portal just like I did with Shay. We went quite a while getting the feeling that things were going to be slow in the portal, and then all of a sudden things really kind of started cooking for this Kansas program. Lance Leipold, are he and his staff still recruiting for the portal?
Yeah, Randy, I think they are. Well, let's put it this way. I think it's down to a select one, if you will, and mm-hmm. I mentioned some of this on the message board today. I think they're still involved with Bryce Foster from Texas A&M. So, mm-hmm. you know, the portal recruiting is so different, okay? And you know, I've done this for 25 years, and covering the high school side is like a whole different world when you move to the portal side. Just with the way of where you're obtaining the information and trying to get things from kids. And when the portal started, I said they were going to look for a D-end, a linebacker, an O-lineman, and or a tight end, okay? So what they've ended up getting is they got, you know, a D-end, they got an O-lineman, and they got a tight end. So I think if they can get Bryce Foster, which I think they're in the mix, you know, he's a former five-star recruit. He started games at Texas A&M. You've got to go after him, okay, because he makes you better. I've heard through the grapevine that USC, KU, Oregon, and I've heard Houston's trying hard to get in. They're all in the mix with him. What makes him unique right now in terms of timeline, and I do think some schools just said, we're not going to wait, is the fact that he does track at Texas A&M. So he throws the shot
ball. Oh.
Yeah, so he's in the SEC championships this week, and then you have 2 weeks off, and then he goes to regionals. And I don't know that he's going to qualify for nationals, but if he does, now you're talking 4 more weeks that he may not be able to take a visit, or I don't know what his schedule's going to be. So it's kind of a waiting game and just see where they go on that. But when you ask, are they done? They could be done, but it's down to one person. So I can say it now that every time you think they're done, there's more names that creep up. I think we're to the point now that you can say, this is the final target, and I have no idea where he stands and if they'll be able to get him.
So this may be a dumb question, but you know, I'm going to ask anyway. With his involvement in track, and I only, like you said, you're not sure he's going to qualify for nationals, that kind of thing. Do you, could that slow down maybe him getting on campus, not just for a visit, but once he makes his decision, as could that maybe have him getting to campus a little later for the summer than some of these other guys might that aren't involved in track? And could that be, does that factor in at all as to what programs are maybe staying after him?
Yeah, no, it will. It depends on how far he goes. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if he advances to nationals, he's not going to be on somebody's campus probably until the end of June. So,
oh wow.
But again,
so he'd miss almost half the summer.
Well, but again, he's gone through A&M strength program. Okay. He's gone through spring football. He's done track. He's staying in shape. True. So it's not like a deal where you're like, oh my God, we got to get this guy caught up to speed. He's ready to go. So gotcha. That okay. To me isn't an issue outside of maybe just getting there later than you'd like to see him there so he can learn your system.
That was my concern, was more thinking about from an X's and O's standpoint and getting him integrated into how you're going to utilize him, you know, not necessarily the getting him into shape, that kind of stuff. But I was curious. I was real curious with that. You know, we're going to talk. We're going to get more into the portal and recruiting talk here in a few minutes. But I'm going to turn this over to John now with a man that Kansas fans should be very, very excited about. Kirby connects us now on the studio line with the newest Kansas Jayhawk commit, Amir Herring.
We are joined by Amir Herring, who just committed to the Jayhawks after entering the transfer portal from the University of Michigan. Amir, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing very well. Just can't wait to, you know, get out there and get to work with my new teammates and win football games.
I wanted to start with this, okay, because you've got a little bit of a unique connection to KU and the program. Your cousin Isaiah Marshall is a quarterback there. He just signed and reported. Tell me how much that helped you hear more about the program and understand how things work.
He honestly getting like firsthand insight from like how the coaches are day to day, how he likes it. You know, that was a big jump leaving from, you know, early enrolling in the school this past semester, and, you know, everything that he's learned through the playbook and, you know, everything he's gained from the coaching staff and the speed of the game. And he just, you know, tells you about how, like, Kansas and how the operations are. And it gave me a lot of insight on what I'm stepping into and what coaching staff I'm getting, what strength coaching staff I'm getting, what type of teammates I'm getting. So, overall, it's been probably the biggest blessing knowing you're going to get from someone firsthand and someone who I really trust in his opinion.
You know, you came on an official visit. You got to see the program. Tell me some things that stood out to you on the visit.
Things that stood out to me is how I feel like the staff and faculty care about the student athletes really on and off the field. And my relationship with just the whole offensive staff on my visit was nothing but great. And, you know, getting to spend time with my cousin Isaiah. And also I played with Cornell Wheeler in high school. I was a freshman when he was a senior at West Bloomfield. So getting to spend time with him. And I got to play 1 year with him at West Bloomfield. So we already had a prior relationship from that. And my relationship with like Jalen Todd and Jameel Croft and a lot of Detroit guys there has been nothing but good.
You know, that kind of leads me into my next question is Chris Simpson has done such a good job getting talent from the Detroit area and the state of Michigan to KU. I know he recruited you some in high school. Just talk about the relationship you have with Coach Simpson and how much that helped out for you to get to Kansas.
So I already prior had a relationship with Coach Simps, Coach Simpson. And it was nothing but, you know, really good, great, you know, during the high school recruitment process. So I already had a prior relationship. He's a really good coach, and he knows about this area and what it has to offer and what talent we have in the state of Michigan. And it was just – and then when I got in the portal, you know, Kansas reached out, and I already had a prior relationship talking with him through the high school process. Coach Leipold and them, I think, got there when they started recruiting me at Kansas in the high school process. So just having that relationship was overall a really good thing in the portal process, because it goes by really fast.
You know, you talk about Cornell and obviously Isaiah and Jalen Todd. There's a lot of guys from Detroit that are at KU and some that have just left the program as well. But when you see players from where you're from that are at Kansas, enjoying it, having success, how much does that also help you to identify, to know that guys from your area are enjoying Kansas?
It means a lot to show, because we really are guys that really love our city and, you know, where we're from. And it's just, you know, their experience, nothing but great from all their experiences at Kansas. So just getting a lot of insight on how their individual experiences, that's why it was big for me on my official visit. So, you know, ask, you know, how they like it out there, you know, what's the way of life out there, how's football, how's this, that, and the third. And just asking, you know, the proper questions really to have me make the best decision possible. And I felt Kansas was the best decision for me after taking a visit and, you know, weighing out my pros and cons with my family.
So you were able to get to know Daryl Agpalza, the new offensive line coach, because, you know, he's a new name to Kansas fans. He just joined the staff this season. What's it like been getting to know him and learning about his style of coaching?
I really like Coach Agpalza's mentality really towards football, you know, where, you know, what his resume presents, how he cares for the guy. He's a family guy, family oriented, really good football coach. And I love what he brings really to the program. He's already been with Coach Leipold at Buffalo and at Wisconsin Whitewater. So I feel like the scheme and, you know, him being back with Coach Leipold has been nothing but great. But I feel like we're cut from the same cloth, really. We're both family-oriented. We both want to win games. We both want to win championships. So that's really the big thing with me and Coach Agpalza. And we just, overall, we both love football.
All right, so for the Kansas fans out there listening, tell them about Amir Herring as the player. What do you do well? What can they expect from you?
Amir Herring as a player y'all gonna get a guy who's gonna just work his tail off every day, be the best version I could possibly be, and, you know, bring a style of swagger to the football field, nastiness, consistency, and just being a guy that you would count on week in and week out to, you know, do his job at the highest level, and overall being prepared when any situation occurs in a game, or, you know, having the faith in me, you know, be dependable on the offensive line and just overall do the things that I know me and the guys are capable of. And I feel like we're going to be very successful.
I'm sure the time's coming, but when do you plan to report to KU?
So my report date is June 1st. So in about 2.5-3 weeks from now.
And Amir, just tell me how all this feels. I'm going to close with this. I mean, you were highly recruited at a high school, and then highly recruited once you got in the portal. But all that's behind you now. You know where your future home's going to be. How does it just feel to have all that done?
It feels really good knowing I'm going to a place that, you know, really cares about the players, really, really hones in on really the craft of being the best possible team we could be, and overall getting the best out of, you know, our college experience and getting us on to the next level and giving us the resources to be the best possible versions we can be as a team, as an individual, and overall as like an offensive line group and an offense.
That is Amir Herring. He's a transfer portal commitment from the University of Michigan and a big pickup for the Jayhawks. Amir, I really appreciate you joining us on the Inside Slant podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Kirby, I know you were super excited about the addition of Amir Herring, and Rivals has him as a 4-star portal prospect. We just heard from him how big was his commitment, really?
Yeah, it's a great addition, Randy. I mean, you know, they needed an offensive lineman, and you see a lot of portal guys now, okay? And I always joke with this. I call it one-year rentals because, hey, listen, Kansas has done that several times. You know, they've taken guys that have 1 year left in the portal, and you're seeing a lot of programs do that. One of the things I love about Herring, he's more like a high school recruit than a portal guy because he has several years to develop in your program. You know, I went back and, you know, I watched his film from high school. God, he's nasty. I mean, he's nasty. He'll knock you down. Listen, if I got a bet on it, I say Amir Herring will develop into a starter at KU. He will be a starter on the offensive line. So, you know, he comes from a great program, Michigan. Go watch Michigan's offensive line last year. And I'm telling you, they got after you. And I've heard that they lost like four or five of their best linemen. But somebody was telling me the other day, because I was asking about Herring, I was talking to somebody close to their program. They're like, they've got like six or seven guys they think are going to step right in. Now, they've got to develop, but they could be just as good as the ones that left. So they do a great job developing. They're deep, and Herring's gone through that program. So you know he's going to come to Kansas coached up, ready to go. And listen, one of the other things I love about it, he carries that Detroit connection, just like you heard him talk about, okay?
Yep.
Okay, it becomes now, so when Chris Simpson goes into Detroit and he starts recruiting players, and we're going to see some kids from Detroit take official visits in June, okay? It becomes really easy now when you've got a group of guys from an area that can sell a recruit or someone else on, hey, a bunch of us guys from Detroit have come to KU. We love it here. They take care of us. It's like a family. That means a lot. I mean, that means a lot to kids in recruiting. It means a lot to their families. So, listen, Amir Herring, great pickup.
You know, it's so crazy to me to see all the names. You know, you talk about that Detroit pipeline that is really growing and is becoming a thing. I mean, I remember, you know, people were excited there for a while. We had Andrew Davison and Carl Shazor, who were both from Detroit. And that was as far as we could get in the years under Terry Allen, after Glenn Mason had just brought seemingly guy after guy, and not just guys, but big time football players that played a big role for the Jayhawks out of Detroit. It's awesome to see that being rebuilt and reestablished. You know, there have been two other additions from the portal. Kirby, tell us about Bijob and Leighton Cure and what people need to know about these two guys.
Yeah, you know, we talk about, you know, one of the things about Herring that was so big to me is you get him in the program. He's just not a one-year-and-out guy. I mean, I love the fact that he's a four-star type player. Well, you look at Bijob, he's very similar. He's got multiple years left. He's another guy. He was a seventh-ranked defensive end in the nation. I mean, this guy had Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma. Line them up. And they were on him, okay? He goes to Michigan State. They've had a couple changes at defensive coordinator, changed the scheme. He's a rush-in, get-after-the-passer type guy. And I think at Michigan State, from what I had heard, you know, they're going to kind of move him to that outside linebacker spot. And I think the Kansas 4-3 front fits him better. So he's a great athlete, and he's what they were looking for. They needed a pass rusher, and they were down to about Bijob was it. I mean, he was the guy that they had to get. There may have been one other guy they were keeping warm, but I don't know where that stood. Again, he's got all the tools. He's got time to develop. Leighton Cure is the other guy that they've added, a tight end, the very interesting prospect from Goodland, Kansas. Okay, he went to Fort Hays State. You know, so I saw somebody bring up something about the fact that, you know, he slipped through the cracks because of COVID. I don't buy that. Listen, coaches still found guys during COVID, okay? I mean, they were still able to get film, and this isn't the old days where guys slide under the cracks. That just doesn't happen a lot. You know, he came from Goodland. I think the reason that he signed at Fort Hays State is because he was hard to project on film. When you go back, I'm telling you, Leighton Cure's film, high school film, is so intriguing because he plays quarterback for his team, okay? And he throws the ball pretty well when you go back and watch him. He runs the zone read. He makes cuts. He changes direction. And he's a big kid. I mean, he's not a small guy. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. Now, back when he was in high school, I don't know if he was that size. But when you see it, you see the athleticism. And I put this on the message board. I see some shades of Kerry Meyer, okay? When Kerry Meyer was at Pittsburgh, you watched him, and he did so many good things athletically. But you're saying, God, is he going to be able to be a quarterback and then keep being a quarterback? Well, as we know, he ended up being a wide receiver and one of the greatest wide receivers in the history of KU football. So I think Leighton Cure has some of that type of potential. I mean, the kid, three-sport athlete, okay? He was a hurdler. He threw the javelin. I mean, he's a really good athlete. Jeff Grimes was told, you've got a spot to go find a tight end in the portal, okay? There were a lot of tight ends that went in the portal. A lot of good G5 players, a lot of good Power 5 players went in the portal. Jeff Grimes could have gone after some of these other guys. He didn't. He went after Leighton Cure. Okay, now a lot of this has to do with the fact that he was recruiting his brother Lincoln, who's the number one prospect in the state, okay? But he got to know the family. He got to know the brother's story. And then he started evaluating him and said, this is the guy I want. I don't want the kid from Power 5 school over here who just went in the portal. This is the guy I want over here. So Leighton Cure, listen, Randy, when this came out, and I knew this would, and I mentioned this, everybody's going to say, Jeff Grimes went after him to try to get in with the brother. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that hurts, but I'm telling you that if Leighton Cure would have committed to K-State 3 weeks ago, I still think Jeff Grimes would have taken Leighton Cure. He didn't take Leighton Cure to get Lincoln. He took Leighton because he thinks he can help the program.
That's worth noting right there, because I know, and as I think you probably expected, just like I did, as soon as the commitment was announced, people were making references to, you know, Ed Manning, Mario Chalmers' dad, be like, hey, we've seen this before. It works well. I love hearing that he is the kind of player that they would have wanted regardless. And that, like you said, he was maybe just a little bit of a mystery as to what he could do because of the positions that he played and the way he's utilized in high school. You know, it's crazy to think that we are less than a month before really this first wave of official visits really starts to kick off in Lawrence. I know you said there will be a good group that first weekend. Who are you tracking at this point?
Yeah, Randy, I'm expecting, you know, a double-digit list of guys to be here. Now, I think I've got seven or eight maybe. So, you know, I'm going to have to do some digging. And the coaches are out on the road recruiting right now, so the list is changing all the time. I know there's a receiver guy out in California, a recruit, that just told the staff he's not going to visit. Okay, I mean, he's gotten more offers picked up. He's going to stay closer to home on the West Coast. So this list is changing all the time. But I expect more than 10 official visitors the first weekend in June. A couple guys to keep an eye on are Carson Cox, a running back out of California, Malachi Kirby, who's committed to KU, a linebacker from Iowa, David McComb, another kid committed, quarterback from Oklahoma. And then, you know, Juju Marks is still scheduled for that weekend, the offensive lineman from Aquinas. And then I just wrote a story on Brad Fitzgibbon, a defensive lineman out of Illinois. Zabrowski and Panagos have been on him. Jalen Cooper, a four-star wide receiver out of Texas. Terry Samuel's been all over him. He's still coming on the 7th, he told me. Bryson Williams, they moved him from the 21st to the 7th. He's a safety out of St. Mary's Prep in Michigan. Chris Simpson's been on him. So there's a nice group of visitors. You also got a couple committed kids mixed in there, which is nice because now they can tell all the guys on the visit, get to know them, tell them why they chose Kansas, and help recruit them. So June's going to be a busy month, and it's going to start on June 7th, which I said, you know, I expect 11 to 12 visitors. So I've got a little work to do, and stay tuned to the message boards. I'll dig up who's all coming and keep everybody updated.
No doubt. There is so much to follow on right now. And as I said it before, I'm going to say it again. If you are not a subscriber to Jayhawk Slant and you're a Kansas football fan, a Kansas baseball fan, Kansas basketball fan, any of these sports that are making news right now for Kansas athletics, there is no better time to sign up for Jayhawk Slant than right now. The best coverage that you're going to find anywhere on the internet of the teams you care about most by the people that know these teams best. John Kirby, Shea Wildebor, bringing news and information and insight that you don't find anywhere else. It is worth it. There is no better place to be to hear about the teams and the stories that matter to you, as well as to connect with other Kansas fans that are just as passionate about the Jayhawks as you are. For my man, Shea Wildebor, for my buddy John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.